Welcome back to Naracast Tech Briefing, your daily dive into the bleeding edge of artificial intelligence, robotics, space, and quantum computing. I'm excited for today's show because we are tracking some massive tectonic shifts in the AI industry.
We really are. If you tuned in yesterday, you heard us break down the massive leadership restructuring at Google DeepMind, with Demis Hassabis stepping down as CEO to take on a broader role as chair and Alphabet's chief scientist. It was a clear signal that Google is reorganizing its brain trust to deal with the intense pressure from competitors like OpenAI and Anthropic.
But that restructuring was only half the story. The other half is what happens to the legendary talent that decides not to stick around for the reorganization. Today, we are going to do a deep dive on a brand new startup that has emerged from that exact talent pool. It's a venture that wants to fundamentally change how scientific research is conducted, and ironically, Google is the one footing the bill.
It's a fascinating dynamic. And after we unpack that, we've got a great roundup for you. We'll be looking at a growing point of friction for enterprise users of Claude Code, a brilliant application of economic theory to Mario Kart 8, and a very unconventional, very profane approach to botany education that is taking the internet by storm.
Lots of ground to cover today, so let's jump right into our main story. Let's start with our main story today, the official unveiling of Discovery Loop. This is a brand new Delaware public benefit corporation, and the founding roster is, frankly, staggering. We are talking about four of the most influential figures in modern artificial intelligence and computer science, all teaming up. The founders include former Google chief scientist Jeff Dean, Google senior fellow Sanjay Gimawat, DeepMind research VP Oriol Vignals, and research scientist Kwok Lay.
It really is an absolute powerhouse of a team. To put this in perspective for listeners who might not recognize every single name, Jeff Dean and Sanjay Gimawat are legendary in the field of distributed computing. They essentially built the underlying infrastructure that allowed Google Search to scale globally, co-authoring the original papers on MapReduce and Spanner. Then you have Kwok Lay and Oriol Vignals, who have been foundational to deep learning, sequence-to-sequence models, and the development of architectures that power everything from Google Translate to the recent Gemini models and AlphaFold. Seeing all four of them depart Google simultaneously to launch a startup is a seismic event in the tech industry.
It absolutely is. And the timing is notable, especially considering we just discussed Demis Hassabis transitioning to a new role as chair of DeepMind and chief scientist of Alphabet. The landscape at Google is clearly shifting. But let's look at what Discovery Loop is actually setting out to do. Their stated mission is to automate the, quote, experimental loop of scientific and engineering research. They are starting their focus on machine learning itself, but the roadmap includes expanding into drug discovery, hardware design, and clean energy. That phrase, automating the experimental loop, is doing a lot of heavy lifting. In traditional scientific research, the loop is incredibly labor-intensive. A human researcher formulates a hypothesis, designs an experiment, sets up the physical or digital parameters, runs the test, collects the data, analyzes the results, and then decides what to do next. It is a slow, iterative process. What Discovery Loop wants to build are AI systems that can handle that entire cycle autonomously. The AI proposes the experiment, executes it, and iterates based on the outcome, drastically reducing the human bottleneck. Right, and we've seen specialized versions of this concept recently. DeepMind has obviously made massive strides with AlphaFold in predicting protein structures, and Isomorphic Labs is applying that to drug discovery. But Discovery Loop seems to be aiming for a more generalized platform. They want to apply this autonomous research capability across multiple domains. How do you think this differs from what Isomorphic or DeepMind are already doing? Are they building a fundamentally different type of agentic architecture?
That's the core question. And without a white paper or a product demo, we are left to speculate. But given the background of those founders, I suspect they are looking at the infrastructure layer of autonomous research. Jeff Dean and Sanjay Gimawat are systems guys. They know how to build platforms that scale across thousands of machines. If you combine that systems expertise with the deep learning brilliance of Vignals and Lay, you might get a framework where autonomous agents can spin up massive simulations, test millions of variations of a hardware design or a chemical compound and narrow down the viable candidates before a human ever has to look at them.
It's a compelling vision, but it's also worth looking at the business side of this launch because the funding structure is fascinating. Google is actually stepping in as a founding investor for Discovery Loop, and they will be providing the cloud infrastructure for the startup. The seed funding round itself is co-led by Radical Ventures and Kosla Ventures, with additional participation from Lightspeed, Kleiner Perkins, Door Capital, and Alphabet.
The fact that Google and Alphabet are backing this venture is a brilliant, albeit necessary, strategic move. We know Google is facing intense pressure to retain its top talent amidst fierce competition from OpenAI, Anthropic, and a dozen other well-funded startups. When you have giants like Jeff Dean ready to walk out the door, you can't just let them go to a competitor. By investing heavily in Discovery Loop and securing them as a major cloud customer, Google is essentially hedging against its own brain drain.
Exactly. They keep these legendary researchers within the broader Alphabet ecosystem. It's a way to say, okay, you want the agility and equity of a startup? We'll fund it, as long as you build it on our cloud. It's an incredibly pragmatic retention strategy, even if they are technically off the Google payroll. Though it's worth noting that the market was a bit spooked by the broader shakeup. Alphabet shares fell about 4% following the announcement of these leadership changes.
The market hates uncertainty, and losing Jeff Dean is objectively a massive loss for Google's internal engineering momentum. But looking at Discovery Loop as a standalone entity, we have to evaluate the narrative they are pitching to these venture capital firms. They are promoting the idea that they can replace massive, resource-heavy resource teams with just a handful of people armed with these autonomous systems.
Do you think that's a realistic expectation in the near term, or is it primarily a marketing narrative designed to raise a massive seed round?
I think it's a bit of both. In purely digital domains, like machine learning architecture search or software optimization, I absolutely believe an autonomous system can replace a large team of human engineers. The feedback loop is instantaneous, and the cost of failure is just compute time. But when they talk about expanding into hardware design or clean energy, the physical world introduces massive friction.
Right. You can't just simulate a new solid-state battery chemistry and immediately go to market. You still have to synthesize the materials, build a prototype, and test it for thousands of charge cycles in a physical lab. The AI might tell you exactly what to build, but you still need the physical infrastructure to validate it. So the idea that a handful of people can replace a massive R&D lab in the physical sciences feels a bit premature.
Completely agree. And that's the hurdle they will eventually have to clear. But for now, they are starting with machine learning, which makes perfect sense. It's their home turf, and it's entirely digital. It's also important to point out that they have not disclosed their valuation yet, nor have they released any sort of product, demo, or benchmark. They are entirely in the stealth building phase.
Given the pedigree of the founders and the tier one venture capital backing them, you have to imagine the valuation is astronomical for a seed stage company. They are selling a vision of the future where the scientific method itself is automated. If anyone has the technical chops to actually execute on that vision, it is this specific group of people. We will be watching their progress very closely over the next few months to see what their first actual deployment looks like.
All right, that is the big story for today. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
First up in the roundup, let's look at some friction in the AI developer ecosystem. Over on the Anthropic GitHub repository, there is a newly opened feature request for Claude Code and Claude Cowork that is gaining a lot of traction. Issue 84856 is asking for external read-only sharing capabilities for artifacts and projects, specifically for viewers who do not have a paid subscription.
This is a classic enterprise software dilemma playing out in real time. Right now, all of the collaboration primitives inside Claude's ecosystem are strictly scoped to a single organization on a paid team or enterprise plan. If you generate a live artifact or a co-work session, the only people who can view it are the people inside your specific organizational tenant. There is no native mechanism to just generate a secure link and send it to an external client or a third-party contractor.
Which is incredibly frustrating for professionals who use these tools to generate interactive reports or dashboards.
What makes it even more frustrating is that individual users on the free, pro, or max plans actually can publish artifacts to public links. But Anthropic intentionally disables this functionality for team and enterprise accounts in order to maintain strict organizational security and data isolation.
Exactly. Anthropic is prioritizing data security, which is exactly what enterprise IT departments want. But the actual end users are begging for a middle ground. They need a way to securely gate and share these artifacts with external stakeholders without violating compliance policies and without forcing the client to buy a Claude subscription. It highlights the tension between building powerful agentic workflows and actually integrating those workflows into messy, real-world business relationships. It will be interesting to see if Anthropic builds a native solution or if this creates an opening for third-party middleware to solve the problem.
Next up, we have a story that perfectly blends rigorous data science with classic video game nostalgia. Antoine Meyerowitz, who is an economist and data scientist, recently published a fascinating blog post titled Mario Meets Pareto. In it, he applies the economic concept of Pareto efficiency to solve the ultimate dilemma in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe: how to choose the absolute best vehicle build.
I absolutely love this project. If you play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, you know that selecting your character, kart, tires, and glider isn't just cosmetic. Every component affects your underlying stats, like speed, acceleration, weight, handling, and the crucial mini turbo stat. When you multiply all the options together, there are over 703,560 possible combinations. It is a massive, multidimensional optimization problem, and it's almost impossible for a human to intuitively know which combinations are actually the best.
That is where Pareto efficiency comes in. In economics, a Pareto optimal state is a situation where you cannot improve one variable without making another variable worse off. Meyerowitz applied this exact framework to the Mario Kart stat system. He wrote an algorithm to filter out all the objectively suboptimal, or dominated, options. If build A has the exact same speed as build B, but build B has worse acceleration, build B is dominated and gets thrown out.
Right, and what you are left with is the Pareto frontier. It's a much smaller set of highly efficient builds where every choice represents a calculated trade-off. If you want more speed on the frontier, you mathematically have to sacrifice some acceleration. It's a brilliant way to mathematically solve the game's meta, moving away from subjective tier lists on Reddit to a rigorous mathematical framework. And honestly, it's a great educational tool for understanding how data science can simplify complex decision-making in any industry, from supply chain logistics to product development.
Finally, we are stepping slightly outside our usual tech focus to look at a unique approach to science communication. There is a wildly popular educational project called Crime Pays, But Botany Doesn't, created by a man named Joey Santori. He is a self-taught botanist, author, and former freight train conductor, and he just released a new book in August titled Concrete Botany: The Ecology of Plants in the Age of Human Disturbance.
If you haven't seen his YouTube channel, it is truly an acquired taste, but it is phenomenal. Santori is famous for his incredibly thick, Bill Swirsky-esque Chicago accent, his very heavy use of profanity, and a completely raw anti-establishment persona. It is the exact polar opposite of the polished academic science communication you would normally see on PBS or the Discovery Channel.
It really is. But beneath the abrasive persona is some incredibly rigorous field botany. He focuses heavily on plant ecology, biogeography, and evolution. And what makes his work so compelling is his focus on concrete botany. He doesn't just travel to pristine national parks. He documents native plant species surviving in neglected urban wastelands, industrial parks, and railway margins. He uses these plants to launch into broader critiques of modern horticultural norms, gentrification, and environmental apathy.
It's a masterclass in bridging the gap between highly technical scientific concepts and everyday audiences. He will seamlessly transition from explaining complex phylogenetics to delivering a scathing critique of capitalism and urban planning. By adopting this blue-collar, confrontational persona, he completely bypasses the ivory tower of traditional academia and fosters a much deeper, more visceral public connection to local ecosystems. It proves that science education doesn't have to be sanitized to be effective.
It's a great reminder that passion and deep knowledge can break through any format. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of NORACAST Tech Briefing.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking the time to dive into the weeds with us, pun intended, on everything from AI infrastructure to Mario Kart data science.
We will be back tomorrow with another slate of deep dives and rapid-fire updates from across the tech landscape. Until then, keep an eye on the frontier and have a great day.